Somebody explain to me the concept of middle of the road pens. They're garbage. They're not the cheap throwaways. They cost like 2-3 times as much, but they still write for shit. You don't like them. You don't want to use them. The only reason why I have them is because you'll randomly acquire them the way you, the exact opposite of the way you do socks. And they're garbage. They're junk. Like, why do they even exist? There's no market for them. I don't know anybody who buys them. I don't know anybody who likes them. They either get the cheap-ass throwaway ones, or they get the Pilot G2. Where is this market for these pens? Why do people keep buying them, and how do they keep ending up in my house?
Mashup 103, a rant on pens. Was that the actual rant you wanted to do? Did you actually remember it? You know, people can't see us before we start this. But we used to show those behind the scenes, but he literally forgot what he was going to rant about beforehand. So I was curious if that was actually
pens? Before we pens? Went live. I was like,
we're talking pens today.
What was my rant?
Mashup 103. Okay. This one is brought to you by AprilHutchinson.com. So shout out to April Hutchinson. She was just in Lloydminster too. Linda Blade talking about men in female sports. Obviously, I think everybody knows where it's going there. I'll bring it up on the screen. A little bit of clothing. Keep female sports. Female XX. There you go. And there's a ton of stuff. They got a baby line in there. On and on it goes. AprilHutchinson.com.
I've seen a couple people putting her stuff up on Twitter. That keep a female XX shirt. I saw a couple people like, hey, I got this shirt. So. You're not going to be the first one on the block buying it, but at least you've got the established clout of other people who are happy customers.
That's right. And there, I think if memory, well, there you go. I tossed it in the chat for anyone wanting to go support. There you go. Bingo. Done. Mashup 103. April Hutchinson, shout out to her. And to Linda Blade, both in town, and to Rebel News for coming and reporting on that. I thought that was also very cool.
Good for them.
So there's a story on Rebel News about our group here in Lloydminster and those two ladies coming to talk. Jamie Sinclair, wherever you're driving, military roundtable vet. He's got his retirement party coming up here in May, twos, and he wants everybody to know happy Airborne Friday to everybody and to all the military vets. If we got any of those guys tuning in, shout out to Jamie Sinclair out of Saskatchewan.
Is the retirement party in Saskatchewan?
It is.
I mean, it's a good place, but be handier if he was closer.
Coots, too. 797 days, I believe, by my count. I got a question mark beside that, but my simple math, I know we're going to get into math today on the mashup, but my simple math tells me 797. That's Christopher Carbert and Anthony Olenek still behind the bars. And of course, we keep talking about the amount of days. We're going to hit 800 here. Like, that's mind blowing.
Not really. Not really. Sean. Did you see that other article that I sent you, the National Post one?
Which is?
The RCMP said he was a sex trafficking kingpin. They destroyed my life. Toronto's Dagan Chun was accused of running a sophisticated human smuggling network and put behind bars. 3 years later, he spent 32 months in jail. And then the Crown stayed all prosecution. They offered him a plea deal. Rather than being a sex trafficking kingpin of over 50 women, which was what was alleged, they even had a press conference about it saying that they got this guy. And then they offered him to plea out for possession of a forged document because apparently he was running a school, an ESL school, and one of the teachers had a fake teaching certificate. Okay. And it was in his office.
Mm-hmm.
And so... He had the option of pleading out to say, yes, I was in possession of a fake teaching certificate. They went from sex trafficking 50 women down to holding somebody else's fake certificate as the deal. And he said, nope, no, I am not taking that. I will stay in jail until you guys actually bring this to court. And then eventually they let him out, and then they stayed the charges, and he's trying to sue them. There's the wife of the dude who killed the 22 people in Nova Scotia is currently trying to sue the RCMP. There's another one in BC.
So in other words, this is just a long list of people that are going to sue our government for incompetence.
And I would say in the case of Coots, malice and probably political direction towards it. But that's just tinfoil hatch.
That's tinfoil hat. Sheridan says, it's disappointing here. Linda Blade will be moving to Africa. Good for them, but Canada will miss her. It's not Africa. It's India. They're moving to India is where Linda Blade's going to be going. Just I thought I'd correct that.
See, I sometimes I hear people wrong sometimes. You know, you say like, I'm moving to a freaking new place. And oh, no, not African new place, a freaking new place.
Yeah. Shall we get this 103 on the rails, twos, and let's roll. It's 6 minutes in. I can hear my
Well, we kind of already started talking about the Coots people.
It's true, right? It's true.
So anyways, yeah, the RCMP fucking sucks, dude.
Okay. Let's roll. I'm ready to roll. It's the budget. It isn't funny. Trudeau's vaccine compensation program funnels millions meant for victims to consultants. The total budget allocation at the time was $32.3 million, but only $12 million was designated to the victims of the Safe and Effective narrative. To the other $20.3 million will go to Raymond Chabot Grant Thorsten Consultancy. The unredacted documents show that the program will go from 2021 to 2026. However, as of December 1st, 2023, more than $11.2 million has been paid out to claimants, according to the VISP website, making this program, like everything the government does, way over budget and not going to the people it's supposed to.
Two-thirds of the budget is for the dispensing of it?
Yes. We're in the wrong job, twos.
Absolutely. Let's be
$20 million to get money out to people who've been hurt by the vaccine.
I would give away 10 million of the government's money for 2 million. Yeah, you give me 2 million, I'll make sure it happens. Like, this is insane. But the funny thing is, you know, we heard all this, oh, it's safe and effective, and this is the COVID indication all over again. And nobody's getting hurt by this, and go out and get it and shut up, you bigots. And now in this year's budget, $36 million allocated towards payouts for people who got fucked up from vaccine injuries.
It's insane.
We're going to talk about the budget?
It's insane.
Is that the only thing we're talking about in the budget?
I don't know. That's the only article you put in there.
No, dude. There were sub things. It was budget was the big one, but then there was a whole bunch of sub.
What did I tell you before I started this? I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm all ready to roll, but no worries. I'll find ways to screw it up. Welcome to Screw Up One, folks.
Okay. The Liberals in 2013, Justin Trudeau had spoke out verbosely in his big sort of I'm Justin Trudeau voice about how evil omnibus bills were and how bad the conservatives are for sneaking stuff in.
I'm gonna pause everybody for a second. Okay, this morning I read through it. It has one link. I'm like, how the heck did I miss that? I go back. There is now six links. I'm like, all right, carry on with your go.
Okay, so they are changing. They're passing some new fucking budget to do some damn thing that they think is going to give more powers to the police so that they can stop the car trafficking, the international car trafficking of all the thefts that leave through the ports and go to third world countries never to be seen again. So there's that. And then that was Bill C-74 was the first time they broke that election promise. And then we've also got $141 million for lodging of asylum seekers.
There you go. $141 million for lodging asylum seekers, $0 for lodging our CAF members. Priorities laid bare in the government should be ashamed. There's John Thompson. You also have, Here are the top 10 ways in which costs or tax will increase according to budget 2024. Capital gains tax increase. The inclusion rate for capital gains will be rising from 1/2 to 2/3 for capital gains realized annually above $250,000 by individuals and for all capital gains by corporation and trusts. And for anyone keeping track, I said this to my brother this morning. They say 2/3. You know what 2/3 is? 66.6. And it just fits in with our bloody government. I can't even put a point on that. Digital service tax, a new tax ensuring digital business. The monetization of Canadian users' data are taxed, applicable from 2024 revenues earned by January 1st.
Luxury tax, tobacco. And they're backdating revenue.
Luxury tax, tobacco and vaping products, excise tax, duty increase.
There's a whole lot more duty in Ottawa right now. Duty, Sean. Duty.
What did you think of the overall budget, Tuz? I know that's a very large question. And I'm not going to give you 15 minutes on it. But what do you want to say?
At what point do we want to start clawing back the amount of money we're spending? Because we just had RBC was saying that if we keep spending like this, our credit rating is going to go down and more is going to go to interest. This is the kind of shit that our great-grandkids are still going to be paying for. This stuff that we are not getting, we're just paying the tip of the iceberg on right now. And it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't fix anything. The amount of money that we've been spending for years has had no tangible benefits for anybody other than Myers-Norris-Penney, that other random-ass fucking consultancy firm, McKinsey & Company, and SNC-Lavalin. They're the only people who give a shit about this budget. So should we throw more money at it? No. Let's not be idiots about this for once in our fucking country's life.
Number 8 and 9 on that tweet was environmental compliance costs, new fees and fines for non-compliance with environmental regulations. I think that's
new fees.
Air travel security charge. You're going to get on a plane, increase in air travel security charge to fund enhanced airport security measures. So they're making travel and all that good stuff going to be more expensive yet again, if it wasn't expensive enough. Essentially, everything's costing more.
As if flying didn't suck enough as it is. You know what? My favorite thing, I get the fact that everybody wants to cancel all the bullshit people from our past, but Pierre Elliott Trudeau Airport in Montreal, it's perfect. It's the shittiest place in the entire country, and we named it after that jack wagon. I love it.
Can we get a shirt with... Okay, side note for a second. We're working on a mashup clothing line, and I think I like jack wagon. I'm just going to throw that out there. I think it'd be a great shirt. Okay, RCMP's most wanted, aside from the donuts. Did anyone else see this? Public attention, RCMP in Ontario. It's a lady. She's wanted. And if you go in on the photo here, she's wanted for Income Tax Act and other offenses. And do not approach. It's a dangerous criminal right here, folks.
Yeah. Do not approach. She's going to get you audited. This is just, it's absolutely silly. We're worried about money that the government doesn't have to spend on important things. Ooh, I just got a knock on the door. I guess whoever's going to have to come back later. I bet you it's the UPS man.
Dude was just telling me, he's like, I love this time. Kids are gone on and on and on. But the knock at the door from UPS.
Knock at the door. Okay. Anyway, if we're worried about our government not having enough money in the coffers to spend on things, why don't we send the cops after literally everything that we've been talking about for the whole first 15 minutes of this show?
McDonald's coffee leaves bitter taste. I can sympathize with this story a bit. It took years for Vinny DeLuca to collect more than 400 cards worth of free McDonald's McCafe coffee. A collection that now has zero value after the company discontinued the program. I mean, I 400's a bit insane. Like, maybe just get a coffee pot and save yourself a bit of money. Yeah, that's my first thought. Just
cash them in from time to time.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Listen, it just ended in at the end of 2023. You had quite a time to use them. Now they're not allowing you to use them. It sucks. So, I don't know why McDonald's wouldn't just allow you to use the stupid things. Like, what does it matter?
Well, they did. So they started telling everybody in May of 2022 that this was going to stop. And so you had you had 2 years. You had 2 years to figure your shit out. You had 2 years to drink 400 coffees. And they had signs up, presumably. I don't really go to McDonald's very much, so I'm not well-versed in this. But they had a whole bunch of things going on where you could just see it all. And they had signs up and letting people know and I don't know whatever else. But anyway, they gave people plenty of damn notice. And then these people realize, were just like,
if I do the math on that, roughly, that's like over $5,000 you spent at McDonald's and coffee to get those cards. Just on coffee. Just do the simple thing. Get yourself a coffee pot. Make your own bloody coffee and move on with life. Okay? Move on with life. It's McDonald's. Don't support the, City Council vacant of intelligence. Despite a member of councillors calling for the cancellation or suspension of Toronto's vacant home tax Thursday, the program will live to see another year. During Thursday's meeting, councillors considered a motion to scrap the vacant home tax, but it was defeated with a vote of 5-18. So it ain't going anywhere. Nope. While just around 11,000 property owners had to pay the tax last year, the city sent out 167,000 notices this year, telling them that they had to pay up. And approximately 108 of those charges have already been reversed.
108,000 and counting. Did nobody at like the post office even say, well, you sent out 11,000 of these last year and you're sending out 170 of them this year, 170,000 of them this year. Do you maybe just want to double check real quick that that's right? Do you just look into it. Just crunch a couple numbers and see if maybe there's something wrong when it goes up by like 150% year over year. Toronto's full of idiots and it's ran by idiots.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch. Frustrated farmers are rebelling against EU rules. The far right is stoking the flames. That's the headline. As Europe seeks to address the threat of climate change, it's imposing more rules on farmers. European Union and national officials who seek to decide when farmers can sow and reap and how much fertilizers or manure they can use. Joe Ubels is the second in command of the Farmers Defense Force. Quoted, "It is time we fight back," said Ubels. "We're done with the quietly listening and doing what we're told. He has lost trust in democracy. No, I've lost my faith in politics, and that is one step removed." The FDF itself put its more ominously on its website, "Our confidence in the rule of law is wavering." It's the political party out in the Netherlands.
Matt DeJong says that you're a Dutch hater, which seems to be true the way you're just spewing off about them. I want to point something out here. I don't know if this, that take a drink every time such and such happens. They talk about right and far right and extreme right 17 times in this article. It's a little bit much. And here's the other part about it is that they don't actually establish why they're far right or what makes them far right or anything like that. It's just this preconceived notion, this predetermined outcome. And
I would say they imply far right.
They don't imply it. They literally said it 17 times in the article.
Fair enough. It's because they offer no detailed solutions to the climate crisis. And on it goes.
That's more of a liberal thing than anything else. Are they a liberal party because they don't have any decent solutions?
I agree with you. I'm not trying to argue this one. I don't like reading CTV to begin with. I felt dumber as I read this, and I felt more support for what they're doing. That's what I felt at the end of it.
The other cool part about this, I mean, there is so many wonderful things in this great article. I'm sure it would get a Pulitzer, except the person who wrote it can't get a Pulitzer because they didn't even sign their name on it. It just says the Associated Press staff. if you aren't willing to put your name on the fucking byline, you have to know that what you're saying is absolute fucking cow shit.
Gaggle of Googlers gets gassed. Google employees masked up and wearing their stylish keffiyehs took over Google Cloud CEO Thomas Kurian's California office for over 8 hours this week, demanding the company cut ties with Israel. The protesters claimed that they would stay in the office until Google canceled Project Nimbus, which involves Google and Amazon providing cloud computing infrastructure and service across branches of Israeli government, and listen to the rest of their demands. They streamed their protest on Twitch with the tag "No Tech for Apartheid." The video clearly shows that they were initially asked to leave on their own, but when refused, the police stepped in and made arrests later Tuesday. And Google then went on to fired 28 of the protesting employees. A memo from Google VP of Global Security, Chris Racco, said, "If you're one of the few who are tempted to think we're going to overlook conduct that violates our policies, think again."
How bad does it have to get before the Silicon Valley woke idiots are like, "This is too much bullshit. You don't work here anymore." That's crazy. I don't know. Like, you look at it and you just think of all the other shenanigans, and like, look at everything that happened with Twitter that came out with the Twitter files. These things are absolute cesspools of shitty ideas. And then you, even within that microcosm, you push the boundaries of it so far that you get fired. You have to really be offside.
If you play in the major leagues, you ain't black. This is an MSNBC article, okay? As Major League Baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson and his pioneering contributions to the game, I can't help but think about the fact that league is reporting a historically low number of black Americans players in its ranks, only 6%. Folks, if you watch baseball, I didn't even want to read the article. I'm going to quote out some of the things that goes against what they're talking about. As of opening day 2023, MLB rosters remained among the most diverse in all of professional sports, with 40.34% of its overall roster, including the injured list, suspension, and restricted list, coming from diverse backgrounds, and 2.34% increase overall from a year earlier. That includes 945 players, 59 which are black, 6.2%. That's where they get their number. But 285 of them are Latino and Hispanic players, which make up 30%, and on it goes. And it breaks down the diversity of baseball.
Here's the other thing, though, is that if somebody is a twofer in that, if they're black and Hispanic, they get counted only as being Hispanic. So if they're Blispanic, they're not black. No, okay.
What do you want to say? What do you want to say on this other than MSNBC is a bunch of morons? Go watch the sport.
Think about the idea of this diversity for a second, right? You could be white from Argentina. You could be white from Ireland. You could be white from the Caucasus Mountains. You could be white from Germany. You could be white from Australia. You could be white from Canada, for example. Okay. You're talking about every goddamn corner of the fucking planet. Okay. Russians. They're white. Okay. There's quite a lot of diversity in these random countries that I've just mentioned. And they do things a lot differently and they think a lot differently. Even the Dutch, you know, the ones that you hate from before. They're not the same. Right? But they're like, okay, well, this group is all exactly the same. And then we're going to subset this group and this group and this group. But if there's intermarrying between the two groups, that doesn't count. Like, what fucking mental pretzel do you have to work yourself into to get to that?
Do they realize Otani, I think, right, is the highest MLB player of all time?
I'm pretty sure.
And last time I checked, he's a minority. Like, I can't buzz this article fast enough. Just like he's stupid.
Yeah,
it's stupid. It is. It's stupid. Okay. The P in MMP stands for penis.
Say it again. You were laughing. I don't think everybody heard you in the back.
The P in MNP stands for penis. All right. This goes into Edison Motors. Accounting firm MNP, which is under a BC Auditor General investigation over conflict of interest allegation involving Clean BC grants, has sent a letter threatening to sue Edison Motors, the small merit-based EV truck company that blew the whistle on the situation. You may recall, Chase was on here and told us all about it.
Yes, he did.
And then it went on, Rob Shaw then said, Dave Ebby says, I would operate with extreme caution if I were MNP or other major employer of a powerful entity in British Columbia, given he passed anti-SLAPP legislation to prevent companies from threatening whistleblowers with legal action into silence.
Yeah, so they're walking on pretty thin ice right now. I don't know what the heck's going on, but it's interesting that they scrubbed a whole bunch from their website, MNP. They issued a bullshit fluff statement, and then they threatened the guy whistleblowing with legal action. Okay. Now, if they were innocent and they wanted the best way forward, I feel like if I was innocent and I wanted the best way forward for my company, who is definitely innocent, I would get in front of this and I would be as open and transparent as possible and explain things and clear up the misunderstanding. I wouldn't start trying to scrub shit off the internet and threaten lawsuits.
Correct.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying that they are. They totally are.
Yeah. Sell the cell companies and put them in a cell. Okay, this is right here. Bing. The headline reads, StatsCan says cell phone bills are plunging. The truth is more complicated. You got this tweet in on it. Stop lying. Do your thing. To community notes, wireless providers, quoted, wireless providers jacked up the data allowances in their plans. Has a dampening effect on prices. If consumers pay the same for a plan with more data, StatsCan would interpret this as a price cut. And this is coming off of here. I'll bring up the Justin Trudeau tweet. We've cut the cost of cell phone plans in half since 2019, in part by increasing competition. Next, we're going after the junk fees on your phone bill so you can do things like cancel your plan or switch to a cheaper one with no added charges. Budget 2024.
That's not what. Why is legislating switching user fees for cell phone companies part of a budget bill? Weird. Also, so basically what happened was they said, so Canada has, I think, the second highest cell phone fees in the world because there's no competition. They haven't actually added competition. The existing companies have added subsidiaries that look like different companies but are actually still the same parent company. That's not actually adding competition. That's like Real Canadian Wholesale Club and No Frills and Superstore. Right. That's all that is. It's all still the same fucking dick at the top. Now, the other thing. So what happened is that there's just so much data allowed in your plan now that it's completely redundant. I was just talking about this with Mrs. Tews the other day. Like, why in the hell do I have so much data? Why am I getting so much data? I don't want this. I don't need this much data. I'm away from home 15 hours a day and I don't need this much data. Why do I have it? It's so that they can say, well, technically it's cheaper now because look at the amount of stuff you're getting for the amount that you're paying. Like, why not just give you $11 billion gigs of data and then just be like, we're the cheapest in the planet. Like, if we could just fuck around with the numbers so that we're essentially lying, but not technically lying, why not just go all the way? Own it. Own it. Give us the cheapest telecommunications fees on the planet by giving us 3,000 gigs a month.
I liked Matt DeJong's comment. MNP is the OJ of account companies.
Yeah, well, I mean, they definitely killed that deal for Edison Motors and that deal's waiter's boyfriend.
You need the papers.
Oh, yeah.
The wording on Canadian surveys is garbage. The latest survey found that optimism has crept up slightly to 10% since hitting an all-time low of 8% in September 2023. However, 62% of Canadians said they feel either pessimistic or angry with the respondent respondents equality split between the two sentiments. What do you want to say, too? Like, people are upset.
Here's the literal headline. Anger, pessimism towards federal government reaches six-year high nano survey. Or they could also say that this is the highest pessimism and anger ever recorded in this survey. No, it's a six-year high. Well, Trudeau's been around longer than that. That can't be that bad, right? No. Since this survey, this annual survey started, they have never had higher numbers on it because fuck that guy. But CTV is just downplaying it. Oh, it's a six-year high. It's six-year high, right? It's the exact opposite of what they do with climate change, right? Oh, this is the highest number ever recorded. Yeah, but you've only been recording for like 108 years, and the Earth was around for like at least an hour or two before that.
We'll get to climate change.
But rather than just saying like, oh, it's a 102-year high. The next time we set a record for temperature, it's a 102-year high.
Operation Rainbow Shield.
Yeah, I came up with this in the shower the other day. I think that this is, you know, I've talked about this before. This has to be what they're doing. Let's get all the transvestite people in Canada and let's put them in camo and send them off to fight our wars. And then we'll put them at the vanguard, and then we'll have all the real soldiers going behind them. And the problem is going to take care of itself. Right. And honestly, like, okay, you've still got this up. Let me just read this. A Royal Military College chaplain who was hailed by the Canadian, leave it there. Don't touch it. Leave it. Go back. Okay. Canadian military as an LGBTQ champion on Transgender Day of Visibility has been suspended following an alleged groping request. She's wearing fucking camouflage on the Transgender Day of Visibility. This is not a serious country we're in, Sean. Okay, well, there's more to it.
You're killing me on this side. We're supposed to move fast, and you want to sit for 4 minutes on each one. So I'm okay, pushing fine. On you.
All right.
I'll give it. We just had Drew McGilvery on from Veterans for Freedom on the podcast. You need to go listen to the entirety, because it is shocking what is happening in the Canadian military. This is just another thing. Chaplain Gale, the Canadian Armed Forces' first openly transgender chaplain, got busted and is being removed for, you know, Ooh, what
not
we just
being removed, slap on the wrist
is because
was
of what
it for 2 days or something.
We're going to find out too. Right. Furries fuel. Fury. Students walked out of Utah middle school to protest furries. A petition was started online on Sunday with an initial target of 500 signatures. A number of signatures that was reached Wednesday, prompting the goal to increase to 1,000 signatures. The school's furry population is accused of biting, scratching, spraying air freshener on, barking, and chasing other students. And, you know, I just got to say this. Imagine your career is here, okay? I don't really need to tell you. All I need to do is just turn it on. And this is Strudel getting interviewed on ABC. Okay. It's a kid dressed up in a costume talking about furries. I'm like,
I don't think it's a kid. I think it's an adult. I mean, it's hard to tell, but
fair,
but this is a serious,
this
interview.
Is a serious interview.
And
this is a serious interview.
This furry is waving their hands around and emoting vehemently with their hands, with the big hand gestures, like a fucking mascot at a hockey game. Like, just imagine trying to have, like, how many takes did it take for her to not just be like,
well, I mean, well, like, I laugh, but you want to mind nobody's watching this crap right there, right there.
I would totally watch that. The whole thing was ridiculous and silly. Why do you think we're talking about it today? It's hilarious.
To point out how ridiculous and insane the mainstream media is, too. That's why it's on there.
Well, how come we never have furries on the show?
Maybe we should find one. Maybe we got a furry out there listening? Probably not. But if we do, sure, I'll give you a couple minutes. What the heck? You know?
What the fuck did we just open?
You know? That big old, you know, anyways. The arrive can not arrive can't. Christian Firth, acute mental health flare-ups. Okay, he does not participate.
They're not acute.
Acute. He does not participate in the questioning today because of mental and physical health reasoning, because he's got a doctor's note, folks. Everything we've done here, okay, with the Arrive Can scam, all the money that went there. One of the guys literally didn't have to answer questions because of stress, you think?
Because it was going to cause him undue stress. Well, you know what? I get the fact that sitting through that fucking hearing was probably going to be pretty difficult for you. But at the end of the day, you can go home and lie down on your giant stack of fucking money you stole from the rest of Canada. So I think you're going to be all right.
And I don't know. This is a Twitter from Just Bins. It says same energy. The top one said for the people listening, it's two photos. One of Christian Firth, obviously in Canada, and then the one of a Nigerian official fake feigning after he was grilled about missing funds. And
we talked about that in an early mashup.
This is our version of it. You know? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're basically a third world country where the politicians and the connected people just funnel all the fucking money to do whatever the hell they want. So yeah, we're not too far from Nigeria right now. Apparently Brenda says that he did answer some questions.
Okay.
All right. So we've been fact checked live, which is good. I appreciate
that. We have our own community notes. We love it.
Yep.
Bring out your dad. Bring out your dad. What is that?
Seriously? Monty
Python. Yes, Monty Python. Whoa, Monty Python. I just had to think about it. Bring out your dad. All right. Erica D'Souza Vera Nunez was arrested in the act Tuesday for taking a corpse to ask for a loan in Bangu in the west zone of Rio de Janeiro. The woman claims that she was the niece of Paulo Roberto Braga, 68 years old. At the time of the incident, bank employees were suspicious of the situation and filmed it. That's because she literally had to hold his head up. Erica was charged with attempted theft by fraud and vilification of a corpse. The accused defense claims the elderly man arrived alive at the bank branch.
He was alive when we got here. This whole thing's absolutely silly. And it was for 17,000 real, which works out to, in Canadian dollars, $4,444.
Scroll down just a smidge there, too. Oh, you can't see it anyways. They blurred it out. Never mind. Get it out of there.
His face?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you watch the video is like, it's pretty hard to watch. I'm like, this is awful.
There's a video?
Yeah, there was a video on Twitter.
Oh, on Twitter. I didn't see the Twitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, he's only mostly dead.
He should have arrived. He could still sign it. Update. Crime pays a lot. The Toronto Pearson Airport gold heist was such an inside job that the Air Canada manager who gave police investigators a tour of the crime scene at the cargo warehouse from where it was stolen is now wanted for the $24 million theft alongside another Air Canada employee. Precisely 1 year after the brazen and baffling theft, Peel Regional Police announced 9 arrest warrants as part of the gold heist. 5 of the accused were arrested in Canada and have already been released from custody on conditions pending a trial. 4 more are wanted in Canada, although one, the alleged driver of the truck used to cart off the gold from the airport, is in custody in the United States, where he was arrested after police stopped a car in Pennsylvania with 65 handguns in the trunk that were allegedly being smuggled into Canada. Authorities said a portion of the proceeds from the stolen gold was used to fund a cross-border gun running plot. Why? If you're going to steal the gold, why not just get the heck out of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Just get out of it. Just done. Done.
You get on a plane. You're already at the airport. You get on a plane. You go to a place with no extradition, and you're good. They're like, we're obviously geniuses because they're talking about this on the mashup and how baffled everybody is. We talked about this maybe a year ago, year and a half ago.
Yeah. A year ago.
And so, they're just like, we're too smart. We're too smart again. We're gonna smuggle a bunch more handguns. But he was driving erratically with illegally tinted windows. I'm not a huge expert on crime yet. I'm not ruling anything out in my later years. But I would suggest that if you are going to be smuggling a bunch of illegal contraband across an international border A, stay in your fucking lane. B, don't do any illegal shit with the windows or anything else on the vehicle. But how cool is it that the dude who the mastermind of the heist was the dude doing the tour for the police? Like, oh, and this is where the gold was. And this is the ventilation shaft that we escaped through. I mean, they escaped through.
You know, I'm thinking of the movie Heat, and they add in the guy last minute, and he almost blows everything, you know, and then he ends up shooting the cop, and like they end up
Val Kilmer, you mean?
Not Val Kilmer. The guy they add in, Val Kilmer, Pacino. Pacino's a cop.
Oh, yeah,
De Niro.
Yeah.
They add in the guy last minute. I'm like, this is the guy they added in. He's the guy who gets busted.
Yeah, the wild card.
Yeah, the wild card. Yeah, that's the don't add the wild card in. You're gonna go do heist. Legacy Media doubles down. Here, I'll bring up the senior NPR editor Uberliner has been Twitter name, has been suspended from the Republic Radio Network. He's served for 25 years after sharing concerns about bias in the free press. Quoted, with declining ratings, sorry levels of trust, and an audience that has become less diverse over time, the trajectory for NPR is not promising. Two paths seem clear. We can keep doing what we're doing, hoping it will all work out, or we can start over with the basic building blocks of journalism. We could face up to where we've gone wrong. News organizations don't go in for that kind of reckoning, but there's a good reason for NPR to be the first. We're the ones with the word public in our name. That's Uri Berliner, Peabody Award-winning senior editor at NPR.
Peabody. So I would really like to see any established legacy, whether it's news, newspaper, whatever. I'd love to see that anybody take this approach. Because I tell you what, they would absolutely blow up. They would be unstoppable. Like if they just said, here's exactly where we fucked up. Here's where we lied to you. Here's why we lied to you. We're sorry. Here's how we're fixing it going forward. Yeah, that would be a huge game changer. And this guy suggested it as the president of NPR in the States, and they suspended him for it. Now, technically, apparently it was only for 5 or 13 days or something like that. It's not an indefinite suspension. But, you know, when you're the one guy who's the voice of reason at the table and they throw you out the fucking window, where do you go from there?
Yep. Where there's smoke. What constitutes mathematical knowledge? What is included in mathematics? Who gets to decide? These are some of the questions being asked in growing decolonization movement. Mathematics, quoted, mathematics is a universal human phenomenon, and students of underrepresented minority groups and colonized people are starting to be more critical about accepting, unquestioning the cultural hegemony of mainstream European-based mathematics, says Professor Ruwana Ball from the ANU Mathematical Sciences Institute. But in many
ANU sciences, as in ANUS, is their acronym really ANUS?
ANUS? certainly looks like it.
Okay.
But what do you just to have
okay, real quick before you get too far past it? It's not European math. Okay, these are Arabic numerals that we use, as opposed to the Roman numerals that we don't. We use the Arabic ones, which is technically a misnomer because they were first used in India. So it's, you know, cultural appropriation of cultural appropriation. But the point is that it's not ours. And lots of the stuff that we came up with was Muslim scholars that came up with. There was this huge period of growth in the Middle Ages where everything that people, you know, towards the Industrial Revolution was building on, it all got started in there, right? Yeah, you had, you know, a couple Greek things that were kind of neat and whatever else, but they were just parlor tricks. Most of this stuff is built on Muslim scholars.
Frances Widdowson, University of Lethbridge, she's been on the podcast a while back, folks. She talked directly to this, right, of First Nations trying to get more into changing how mathematics and different things work. Can't remember if it was mathematics or sciences in general. She's talked about this, right? It's just another instance of where exactly what Tuz is pointing out. It's a strange thing going on.
Hey, it's the universal language. Do you know why they call it that? Because it's universal, Sean.
You can't. You can't handle the truth.
No, this is crazy. Can you just imagine this dude being a crackhead murderer?
It says sheriff tried
to fight the judge.
Sheriff wrestled a man to the floor of an Edmonton courtroom after he tore off his shirt and threw a punch following his conviction for killing a man in the local homeless shelter.
Jesus Christ, that eye is so fucking lazy. It's going to vote for Nenshi when he wins the NDP leadership.
What do you want me to say here? I don't even know what to say.
All right. So he gets sentenced for manslaughter after him and another dude get put in, like, I don't know, the sobering up room of a homeless shelter.
The drunk tank of a homeless shelter.
Yeah. But it's not the drunk tank. It's the meth tank.
Sure.
Because they're too methed up. And so they're in there, and dude thinks he's about to get raped. And so he beats the other dude to death. And then says that the reason why he's dead is because the cops broke his neck while they were administering first aid.
Correct.
Yeah, he's not Jeffrey Epstein, guys. So anyway, then he gets sentenced, and the judge, he's confused about it. He asks the judge, he's like, did you just convict me of manslaughter? The judge says, yeah. He takes his shirt off, like Trailer Park Boys Randy style, and starts trying to run at the judge. And then
it's ridiculous. This entire story is ridiculous. Next one. I mean, what do you, two crackheads got in a fight in the sobering up spot. One killed the other and took a swing at one of the cops in the courtroom in Edmonton. Yeah. That's the story. Politicians ride the gravy train. Gravy delivered to Ontario legislature sparks police investigation. That's the headline. The Toronto Police Service said officers were called to Ontario legislature just after 11:30 a.m. for reports of a suspicious package. According to police, employees were evacuated from a small area of the building. The suspicious package delivered to Queen's Park was determined to be powdered gravy following a police investigation. Police believe the item was intended as a joke. And you go out here, we go, well, why? And the premier's office said Tuesday it had no information on the matter. This is the second time in a week the gravy delivered to Queen's Park has been made headlines. And it's Premier Ford was gifted a can of gravy the other time by Liberal parliamentary leader John Fraser after it was discovered that 48 of Ford's staff have made it onto this year's sunshine list, meaning they're highly paid.
Over $100,000 a year.
The gesture was intended to serve as a reminder of the Ford family slogan, stop the gravy train.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug Ford has lost sight of everything that he purportedly came from. When you've got the Liberals calling him out for being too greasy, too many sweetheart deals, and spending too much money, you've really lost the plot, Doug.
Demands die in daylight. Alberta government is offering a 7.5% wage increase in the midst of a collective bargaining with the government workers calling for a 26% bump. Can you imagine asking for a 26% bump? Ooh. More than 22,000.
It's over 3 years, though.
Can you imagine asking for a 26% pay bump over 3 years?
No, it's insane.
More than 22,000 members of Alberta Union of Provincial Employees fall under the negotiations that began this year, including workers in social services, corrections, and natural resource conservation.
Yeah, and then the government, well, the UCP came back and they said, we can do 7.5%, which is pretty damn generous, considering the fact that these are the people who overwhelmingly vote for the shit show politicians that put us in these situations. Right. But I love how this guy named Guy Smith, weird name, but whatever. Smith said negotiations should take place in good faith and at the bargaining table, not through the press. Listen, motherfucker, we're the ones who pay for it. I feel like being apprised of the situation is not unreasonable. And he said, there's no reason that any government worker should There's no reason that any government worker should be unable to afford food, clothes, and rent while working full-time for the government. Motherfucker, you voted to make everything more expensive. And now you're dealing with things that are more expensive. This is actions and consequences. Rubber meat road.
Finally, a Quebecer worth voting for. Party Quebec, Quebecois leader Paul Saint-Pierre Plamond reiterated on Sunday his pledge for a third referendum on independence should his party take power in the next election.
That's quoted, a lot of alliteration. That sounds like something I would have written.
One thing is certain, he said, our moment will arrive sooner than we think, meaning not at some long-term idolized date, but in a few years before the end of the decade, we will indeed experience a third referendum, he said. The 47-year-old leader has driven renewed focus on sovereignty since he took helm of the 2020, after the party's worst election showing in nearly 50 years, but his spot atop the polls in recent months lent a new edge to his weekend's pledge of a referendum before 2030.
This should be the happy news, really. The guy leading the polls in fucking Quebec is a separatist. This is great. I want to do everything possible to help out this guy's political future and to ensure that as many people as possible in fucking Quebec realize that this is just the best way forward for everyone.
You know, I didn't think I'd ever hear twos utter Quebec happy news together. You know, that might be a first for the show.
Well, you know what? If this referendum goes forward, that's definitely going to be the happy news. I'll tell you that.
We will be there to cover it if there's a referendum. Mashup coverage of a Quebec. We might even go to Quebec for that.
I know? Would totally go to fucking Quebec for that. Go to Pierre's stupid fucking airport.
Everything is climate change. Global warming has slightly slowed the Earth's rotation, and it could affect how we measure time. Time travel, folks. A study published Wednesday found that the melting of polar ice.
Oh, you want us to go fast through this? Here's the deal. I'm going to take over for a second. I'm going to handle this segment, Sean. Sit your ass back. Melting polar ice is slowing the Earth's rotation with possible consequences for timekeeping. Date, March 27th, 2024, in NBC News. CBS News. Earth is spinning faster than it used to. Clocks might have to skip a second to keep up. Published March 27th, 2024, CBS News. And if you go back, it's caused by ice melting at both of Earth's poles, which has been counteracting the planet's burst of speed. It's climate change. Both. The Earth is spinning slower and faster because of climate change, according to two articles published on the same fucking day. Buzz me.
Truce with Trudeau. Here he is, folks. He says, and I quote, an economy is only as strong as it is optimistic.
Yeah. So here's the thing is this starts off as one of those, well, we need to build the economy from the heart outwards, or I don't really think about monetary policy, or what, did you think I was not a good Googleizer? And when you think about this for a second, though, it's a pretty big cell phone. An economy is only as strong as it's optimistic. When you've got all of the investment capital fleeing a country because of capital gains tax increases, the existing companies don't have as much to work with, and the economy slows down. And why does the capital flee? Because of lack of optimism. Nobody has faith in this country, and nobody has faith in the idiot at the front of it. The reason why this is turning into a shit show is exactly what he said. As much as it sounds like a typical Trudeauism, there is a huge grain of truth in it, and he's lying right at the center. This is the biggest cell phone he's ever done, and he doesn't even fucking realize it.
Gordon Ramsay's kitchen nightmare. Squatters occupying Gordon Ramsay's 13 million Regent Park pub restaurant have held a press conference to say they are using our house, to run a soup kitchen for the homeless. Grade 2 listed York and Albany pub and boutique hotel in a wealthy corner of Camden in North London has been barricaded with kitchen appliances, cardboard boxes, and bike locks. At least 5 men and 1 woman are understood to be inside with a legal notice pinned up on the door stating, if you want to get us out, you'll have to issue a claim for possession and the count the county court, or in the high court. We are occupying this property under squatting law, which is our right in this country, they told the Telegraph. We run a free cafe for the community on Tuesdays and Thursdays, although we hope to open more frequently, describing them as Camden Art Cafe. They said, this is a civil matter between the occupiers and them.
Camden Art Cafe, CAC. Does nobody think about acronyms anymore?
We understand. Oh man, I can't even read the rest of it. Okay. You're squatting
the Australian Science Institute, which is literally on the bottom of the earth, is anus, and now we've got the CAC squatters. They're squatting on the CAC. All right, so this isn't a typo. This is Gordon Ramsay's fucking restaurant, and it got taken over by a bunch of homeless people who have barricaded it with cardboard. Ooh, could you imagine how difficult would it be to get through that? He's banging his head against the wall. Not the cardboard one either, trying to get these schmucks out of there, but it's all tied up.
We're into the new levels of land of ridiculousness. This squatter stuff is, yeah. Covindication. Can't even pronounce it. Covindication.
I invented the word, but come on.
I know. Dude. I'm working on it here. The Trudeau Liberal government spent $169.5 million on a sole-sourced contract for emergency ventilators during the COVID-19 pandemic, which are now being sold off as cheap scrap parts. Ventilator parts were sold for as little as $6 a carton.
I don't know what to say here. We spent like,
is there anything to say here? Is there anything to say?
I mean, it's probably worthwhile pointing out the fact that the people who bought them as scrap said that the shipping labels were still on them. They were all still intact in like the purchased shipping. Like they've literally never been taken out of the box. And so now this is probably, so Anita Anand was a minister of some other random fucking thing a few years ago. And it was her husband that got this sole source contract for basically $170 million. Well, it's not me. It's not me. It's not a conflict of interest because it's not me. It's my fucking husband who got this deal.
Right. No, no big deal. No big deal. Yeah. Covindication. Another week of it. I am enjoying the stories of it. It's just
like, obviously they didn't get used.
One of life's great mysteries. This is a headline from Global News. Gas prices surge in some parts of Canada. What's causing pain at the pumps? I wonder.
The carbon tax. Buzz me.
Alberta might join the 20th century. Alberta is looking into possibly expanding liquor sales into grocery and convenience stores. While no final decisions have been made, a spokesperson for the Minister of Service Alberta said, in light of Ontario's recent decision to change its liquor retail model, the Ministers of Service Alberta and our fearless red tape reduction formed Minister MLA committee to meet with stakeholders and provide advice to the ministers possibly doing this. I didn't realize, honestly, the thing I learned out of this, I didn't realize in December of 2023, Ontario announced sales of beer, wine, cider, and ready-to-drink cocktails will be allowed in convenience stores and all grocery stores by 2026. That's what I learned out of this.
I mean,
it's last week we're arguing about a jug of vodka. Now they're like,
milk jug of vodka.
That's terrible. But now we're going to allow it everywhere. It's like, well, make up your mind. Like, are you trying to?
This is not going to be for hard alcohol, I'm guessing, right? But
you're missing the point.
How big of a deal is this?
We're worried about how much alcohol you can get for the price. Now we're going to offer alcohol everywhere. Come on, red tape minister. Like, let's focus on things that actually matter here, please. Mm-hmm. Can we just maybe get to the point of what your job title is?
And how much deliberation does this really need? Basically, the only worries here are looking after special interests. And I love how much I hate when news articles do this. They'll interview somebody who has an obvious vested interest in being contrarian to whatever's being floated. So, for example, one liquor store owner said he believes the move to offer the products in grocery and convenience stores is, quote, completely unnecessary. Ever since it was privatized back in the 90s, I feel like liquor stores have done a great job, says Abby Tour with Payless Liquor Store in Calgary. In the liquor store industry, it's usually small business owners. These aren't a lot of franchises. No shit, the liquor store owner doesn't want you to buy to be have it in like. Of course, he's going to say we've been doing a great job and this is unnecessary, because the more places you can buy it from, the fewer people are going to buy at his store. And yeah, sure, they're small family businesses, but like, how is this going to be any markedly different from when you've got the superstore at the back of the parking lot and the liquor store at the front of the parking lot?
You know, a different version of this is Linda Blades. When they're talking about men and female sports, they go talk to all the transgender women, but not the women. Right. Or they go talk to men, but not the women. This is Two's version with alcohol. SAS party surgically removes oversight. The NDP took aim at a $14,000 donation from Surgical Centers, Inc. To the Saskatchewan party, along with the fact that former finance minister Kevin Doherty is registered as a lobbyist for the clinic. Quoted, the private clinic has donated over $14,000 to the SAS party. And what did they get? They got a $6 million sole source contract for hip and knee surgery, said Conway during question period on Wednesday. Minister of Health Everett Hindley pushed back, arguing the contract was tendered through a request for proposals, an RFP, an open, transparent process that he would use to do this, not a secret. He then later walked that comment back and clarified it was actually not done through an RFP process.
Oh, yeah, that was some other thing.
Whoops. Okay.
So everybody sucks here, right? The SAS party, and if I understand correctly, I mean, when I still lived in Saskatchewan, the NDP were in charge, so I didn't have enough money to donate to political parties. But I think that they're not limited in terms of donations in Saskatchewan. So, yeah, $14,000, fair chunk of change. And then they get this six-figure deal, right? Like, why the hell would somebody who runs a medical practice in Alberta be interested in donating to the Saskatchewan party? I think that stinks pretty fucking big. But then at the same time, the NDP are like, oh, well, this is such a bad thing. You know what, you socialist idiots? If you actually wanted to take this game completely off the table, you could just open up the medical industry. Wouldn't it be nice if there was like some smart people working on a third party option in Saskatchewan?
Were you talking, I don't know, maybe Sask United? We deserve better. We deserve better.
That could have been for the last one too.
Here you go. This is Governor General of Canada. This morning's diverse and distinguished panelists bravely shared their experience of online abuse and how it has been impacted on their personal lives, work, and well-being. Their courage sets the stage for all of us to raise our voices against online abuse. Here you go, folks. See if you can register a few of the pictures and who they are, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Isn't it weird that everybody seems to be mad at Teresa Tam? And Faye Johnston. That woman is ugly.
And Two's favorite hiding in the back there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey? Oh my goodness. Is that Two's favorite right there? It is. It is. This is fantastic, you know?
So like, anyway, they get all this backlash. This is all of the online abuse and hate that the Governor General has been getting online has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman, and has everything to do with the fact that she's running up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of private catering flying around the fucking world. Saskatchewan is Drew McKay, you son of a bitch. How dare you? You should know better.
Happy news. Okay. There's some things in happy news today. Not to do with Quebec. Drawing discovered. A rare drawing dating to the Revolutionary War. It could be the earliest known depiction it goes on to say colonial women's role in the War of Independence, but it's a 1777 drawing by Pierre Eugène du Simentier, the Swiss artist known for painting the first known portrait of George Washington, and it was discovered in the apartment of an amateur collector by the curator of the Museum of the American Revolution. There it is, Twos. You can see it, folks. It went on to say, like, the women are in the cart with children, and they're following the war effort, and they were there to cook and a few other things. And then also, here, I'm going to pull up, I'm going to pull up the,
I got it right here.
Oh, you got it right there. Okay. Okay. So as Tuz plays this, okay,
the board, if he misses,
Bob. Yeah. Here, we'll listen.
Okay.
Zoom in on it, Tuz.
Oh, they're pointing to the Bobo's play with the crowd. Say, you want chicken? Here's your job. Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
So Chick-fil-A has this deal where
if the opposing player misses two free throws in the fourth quarters, attendees win a free chicken sandwich. And so Boban Marjanovic, Houston Rockets, 7'4" center, missed his first free throw, and then everybody's chanting, you know, like chicken, and he starts pointing and he misses his second free throw.
Yeah,
so everybody's getting chicken.
He purposely took a dive so that all of the fans, it was a meaningless game, you know, and like most of the Oilers ones, except with better athletes. And so
he's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
He threw the throw, as weird as that is to say out loud, so that everybody in the audience could get a free chicken sandwich. That was pretty cool.
That's unreal. I
would have done it in a playoff game.
Now, happy news. Yeah. Speaking of the Edmonton Oilers, I don't know about Calgary Flames. I don't know if we know anything about the Calgary Flames. I don't see their schedule out for the beginning of the playoffs. But anyways, if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, game one, April 22nd, we get the LA Kings for the third straight year. Twos, what are you going to be watching, come playoffs? Are you going to be watching anything?
I haven't decided yet.
Interesting.
Maybe a bit of golf.
Also, here's something fun for all the mashup. Anyone listening to the podcast, you should do it today. You shouldn't wait. You should do it today. Okay. It's a bracket setup. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to copy it to the clipboard. I'm going to put it in the chat going on right now for the people on the podcast. I'll put it in the show notes. Okay. And there you go. Bracket challenge. Use password. Password to get in is SMP. Okay, there you go. So it's all in there. Essentially, if you go pick your bracket on who's going to win the Stanley Cup, have a little bit of fun. The Brothers Roundtable starts on the podcast this coming week, and we're gonna have a little bit of fun. Pick your brackets. The people who get first, second, third, each getting a silver coin from Silver Gold Bolt, 1 ounce. Person who gets dead last
gets a gold coin.
Is going to get a silver coin. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun. So even Tuz, you know, with his Calgary Flames, sorry.
Well,
not
obviously
in it.
I can't,
you know,
pick them.
Somewhere Marty Bose is listening to this with his Calgary Flames, not in it. I get it, you know, and we're going to start this all over again. I can't wait for next week. Oilers probably going to be up 2-0. And, you know, I can't wait to see what we got. And I tell you what, Tuz, for next week, I want you to have your playoff bracket ready. We'll show each other's playoff brackets on who we got picked, and then we can make fun of each other as we go along, because for sure, I'm going to get a bunch of things wrong. Probably not the Edmonton Oilers. Would say not the Edmonton Oilers. I certainly won't get the Calgary Flames wrong, because they aren't there.
I don't know why you got to be such an asshole. I'm surprised you didn't try and slide that into happy news. Just twist the knife, hey? Twist the knife. I mean, they finished basically right on the bubble.
Woo!
Were they ninth or tenth?
Woo!
They were in a tie for ninth?
They were a long way out. They were a long out.
Yeah,
I think they call that...
I think it was like 8.5.
Sucking the hind teat. Sucking the hind teat, I think, is what the Calgary Flames were doing.
There's no bad teats to suck, Sean.
Okay, what else do we got here? Community notes. You have June 22nd, Aaron Goodvin and Garrett McGregory in Marwane.
Yeah.
You have SMP Presents Cornerstone Forum. Tuesday's going to be in here for that. A whole bunch of others. Drew Weatherhead, Social Disorder, Leighton Gray, along with all the speakers, going to be in town. And Lloydminster, the Cowboy Preacher. I could probably go on. Tanner in a Day. Shelby Boyd from the podcast is going to be on or there. Anyways, there's 4 tickets left. So if you're interested in coming to Lloydminster April 27th for
Chuck
a full
Brodnick,
day,
Sam's,
Chuck. Yeah, oh yeah.
Is
Chris
Sam's
Chuck
going to be there?
Who? Jamie Sinclair. He's not going to be there. Jamie Sinclair getting called out. Yes, he's got things to do, it sounds like, on that weekend,
he's
which is
retiring.
Too bad. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's pretty retired.
May 11th, you got a walk and run fundraiser in Turtleford. That's Mackenzie Bloom. All proceeds going to the MS Society. We've been talking about the Clunker Dunker. It finally went through. Benjamin Thompson from Marwane won $9,000+ by guessing the right date of the Clunker Dunker. That'll be bad.
When did it go through?
April 16th. So April 16th, 3 days ago, it went through.
Oh, yeah.
We have the Unify Conference. Unify. Where am I spacing?
We Unify. Yeah, 2024 Reclaiming Canada Conference. There's lots of big names going to that, including Dr. Peter McCullough.
Shout out to CAC Canada, Carla Treadway, as they're part of helping promote it and push it. And obviously, we got time for both of those individuals on this show. So that's out in Victoria.
Have you ever had CAC Canada on your show?
I've never had CAC Canada on the show. No.
Okay. Yeah. But that's out in Victoria, June 21st to 23rd. So, you know, pros, good event, great people, cons, it's British Columbia. But Victoria used to be a really nice place to go. I don't know if it still is. I feel like I'm just worried that every time, the next time I have to go to Vancouver or Victoria, I'm just going to be wading through ankle deep human shit. But there's an event there and you should go to it.
I'm trying to pull something up here quick so people can see.
Okay. All right. Well, you're working on that. Here we got a new comment from Leanne Taylor. She says, go Oilers. Thanks for that, Leanne. You have been banned from the channel.
Can't wait, twos. Let's go, Oilers. F&A.
Sean's been muted. He hasn't realized it yet.
Let's go, Oilers. Mashup 103 in the books. We will catch you guys next week, 10 a.m. here again. For anyone on the podcast that is waking up Friday morning or Tuesday morning, Tuesday's going, where the heck did you go Friday? Why is there no episode? Because we're live streaming 10 a.m. and it gets released right after. Twos, we'll catch up to you in a week. We're going to see you in Lloyd in a week.
Yep.
We hope to see a whole bunch of others here in a week's time. Folks, Mashup 103 in the books, and we'll catch you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.